Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead. We have a lot to do and a lot to talk about today. This world that we live in is certainly a crazy one. Before we kind of get started with that, I want to bring up a little local story to all of you that I think has some real value on Saturday. Reese Witherspoon, the movie star, and her husband were driving. He'd been drinking and he was weaving. A local Atlanta cop pulled him over and was giving him a field sobriety test and talking to him. And Reese, who was sitting shotgun, looks out and says, "Why is this taking so long? We need to go. They're, just let him go." And the policeman told her, you know, to just keep quiet, which she didn't do. Then she said again that she didn't want him arrested and said to the cop as she started to get out and said, "Do you know who I am?" She really said that to the policeman. It's in the police report. And he said, "No, ma'am, I don't. I don't need to know who you are. But what you need to do is put your butt back in that seat." Well, the movie star took umbrage and did not care that she was talked to in that way. So she proceeded to become increasingly belligerent and was arrested. They took her to the Garnett Street Jail. Now, I want to just make this personal. About 5 years ago, I was falsely arrested in the middle of the night and brought down to the Garnett Street Jail, the same room that they put the movie star in. It's this huge room that has lockdown cells on both sides where they keep people that are really bad guys, along with just the riffraff and trashy people and drunks and everything else that they pull in the middle of the night, people that have fights in bars, drunk drivers, domestic violence, and they're all put in this huge room that smells of body odor, disinfectant, and despair. It's a tough, tough, tough place to be. Now, that they put her in there speaks volumes for the Atlanta Police Department, that they're just not going to put up with any kind of nonsense, and that Reese Witherspoon, who I really have always liked and admired, just really liked what she played, June Carter Cash. I mean, that was like one of the best roles that, you know, I've seen a woman play in a long time. But she was out of line. Way, way, way out of line. We live in a nation where law is supreme, and she was out of line. Now, we would like to think, at any rate, that we live in a nation where the laws are supreme. And yet, at the same time, there are a number of things going on in the world that just do not make sense. when they stopped the Fast and Furious investigation a couple of years ago because of presidential privilege by not giving the documents to Congress the way they were asked for, it just dried up that investigation. What it said by the way it transpired, it said obviously the president or people close to him, their hands were dirty. If they weren't, the documents would have been produced. Okay. That's one thing. One border agent dead, and a bunch of Mexicans. Hundreds, actually. And there'll be hundreds more. But in America, what happens to Mexicans in Mexico isn't that newsworthy or important. Now, it certainly is important to Almighty God. He loves those people, and they, many of them, some of them, died in drug gang war kind of things. I don't have much sympathy for them. They chose that life. But at the same time, the people who got innocents caught in crossfire with these automatic weapons with clips on them that were 30 or that held 30 bullets or more, hundreds of them have been killed. Not good. Then we come to Benghazi. What happened there? We don't really know. Will we ever really know? I certainly hope so. There are people in America like me who keep bringing it up. It's important to us. The resolution of it is important. What really transpired is even more important than that. And I, for one, do not believe that we have gotten to the bottom of this. And the whole thing of, at this point, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. We have two Navy SEALs, ex-SEALs, who disobeyed orders to go rescue Americans, which is what they have pledged themselves to do and is a high honor for them. And there are 30 of them that are alive now that would not have been had these SEALs not done it. At the same time, these 30 people have simply vanished from the face of the earth as far as getting any information from them. Not one of them has come forward. The government is not allowing newspaper reporters or Congress to interview them publicly, and we need to know. To cover his tracks because his hands are dirty, and this one as well, is Barack Hussein Obama, who said from the get-go that it had to do with an offensive video clip that it made its way through YouTube all over the world, and that it was a spontaneous thing, knowing full well that that was a lie. He maintained that lie, throwing this guy, the producer, in jail. Talk about civil liberties being abused. Threw him in jail, went before the world at the UN and lied to the entire world, saying that it was this YouTube, knowing that it wasn't true. Okay, so now we have Fast and Furious, where the president's hands are dirty, Benghazi, where the president's hands are dirty, and he, what's his first thing that he does? Covers up and lies, covers up and lies, covers up and lies. That's who he is. That's his nature. That's what he does. Now that brings us to the events that happened in Boston. Now, last week, my brother was had been actually in Kenmore Square and Copley Plaza, which are at the end of the race, that very morning, and we had a good talk with him. He's on the line, and I'm going to bring him on now. Richard, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, you talk about Obama and the way he lies, but he's just following Chicago politics. That's pretty much what they do all the time in Chicago, isn't it?
Well, actually, that is true. And I think that five of the last governors have gone to prison. And, I mean, literally. And, boy, the aldermen, it's almost kind of like they have a pension plan that includes time in prison. I mean, the corruption there makes Boston and New York, look like there is no corruption at all. And we both know, having grown up in Boston, how bad Boston can be. But it's nothing in comparison to that. That being the case, there are some things that the whole world watched this unfold, and this was just such an interesting time. I mean, it was 1 week ago and 2 hours that we started talking about what was happening. And as late as Tuesday, they were talking about, well, we don't really have any leads. We need the public to help. And they had an arrest, and then they didn't have an arrest, and that it was a Saudi national. Now, the Saudi national was taken to Beth Israel Hospital, which means he was being treated probably by a Jewish doctor. I think that's pretty interesting also, don't you?
Okay.
But, are you there?
Yeah, yeah. I was just laughing a little, that's all. Sorry.
I get that, the irony of it. That the Saudi, who wants Israel to cease to exist, is being treated at Beth Israel Hospital in Boston. If not primary Jewish doctor, he certainly at least had one or two, because that's basically what the staff is there. Now,
well, I hope he didn't need any intestines, because they'll probably take that from a pig, and that would probably put him over the edge.
Wouldn't there be great irony to that one? I don't think that they did. Now, okay, here are the things that don't add up. They said they arrested this guy, then they didn't. Then they said he was going to be deported. Now he isn't. But he gets a visit from Michelle Obama at Beth Israel Hospital. Why?
Now, Jack, let me reiterate here, though, just so the people know that there is, at that point in time when she was here, which was pretty much Thursday morning, late morning, early afternoon, there was about 170 people that had been injured, including that little boy's mother and sister, and they were all in these hospitals, and she visited one person that was not an American.
And she didn't visit any of the 150 that were hospitalized as a result of what had gone on.
Well, I don't know. She might have visited a few, but she went out of her way. I mean, there's five or six hospitals, as we talked about last week. You know, Mass General, Tufts Medical, all of them had people there. she decided to go to the one hospital where this Saudi was.
That's curious, isn't it? Does that not make you curious?
I think the tune comes to play.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone.
Exactly.
What was the purpose of her visit? Why? They were going to spirit this guy out of the country. Janet Napolitano was being questioned in the House of Representatives by a Republican congressman, and he asked specifically about this guy, and she tried to scoff it off. He went back and asked, and then finally he was a little bulldog and wouldn't let this thing go, and she finally said, well, you know, this guy's not being deported. He isn't. Now, they'd announced that he was, and they changed the record to say that he wasn't. What does that say to you? Is that not curiouser and curiouser? What is going on? Now, I have a third thing that I want to ask about. When they got the third guy, I've forgotten what his name was. It's hard to pronounce them. You know, when they got the younger, the 19-year-old, out of the boat, he was hiding under a tarp, thought that he was plenty secure, a good citizen, sees what's happening, saw the blood on it, calls 911, and, you know, they just descend upon him, and he's completely surrounded, got no place to go. They don't know how hurt he might be. The helicopter is overhead, and through infrared, can see exactly where his head is, his torso, what directions his legs are pointed, everything about him. So they know he's there. And they drop one of those stun kind of bomb things that just percussion that just kind of makes people disoriented. Then a second one and a third one. Three. One would do it. Two would make sure, and three is like, this guy isn't going to have a clue of what in the world is happening. So he starts to get out of the boat unarmed, and there's a photo of him, and he's not wounded. 2 minutes later, they're intubating him because of a major wound to his neck. If you look at the photo, if you're wounded in the neck, the front of your jacket and shirt are going to have blood stains. The only place that's more vascular than the neck is, well, there is no place that's more vascular than the neck. The heart, obviously. There's no blood. How did he get a neck wound that they say he may never talk again and needed to be intubated in order to, where they put a trach down there and start, breathing for him to live. When there was nothing wrong just a few seconds earlier. Now, do I care if this guy lives or dies after what he did, there in Boston? No, I really don't. I'm not, it isn't compassion for this criminal, for this Muslim jihadist that I have. What it is the curiouser and curiouser and more curiouser thing of why he's not able to now speak and fighting for his life. My thought? They didn't want him interrogated. Now, additionally, He is being charged in civilian court, not as a terrorist, but he's given the rights of citizenship that will allow him his Miranda rights of refusing to speak without the presence of a lawyer. So all of this stuff is just like, okay, I wonder what's going on. And it, and you know what my thought is, Dick? I don't know that we'll ever know.
Right.
We don't know about Fast and Furious. We sure don't know about Benghazi. We know that the Boston police and the Massachusetts State Police and the FBI, you know, got these guys based on tips. But these were sophisticated bombs. These two kids didn't make those. They couldn't carry out this entire operation, just the two of them. What's it tied to? Where? What's going on? What's the connection with the Saudi national? Why is he the mystery man in it? And then also, why did Michelle Obama go talk to him? Michelle Obama. Yeah, there's not, we're not talking about a flunky from the government that just kind of sidles in and says, you know, I thought you might want a hamburger and brought it to you and, you know, gives you a little secret message. It's the first lady.
He might have had a tough time eating that hamburger with his throat cut.
Does any of this make sense to you?
No.
No.
But then again, that psychiatrist at Fort Hood that killed all those people that still has not been tried.
Nadal.
That doesn't make sense to me either.
Richard Nadal.
Right.
No, he has not been tried. He sat there for four years.
And he wasn't a terrorist, right? He wasn't a terrorist.
Right. No, he's not listed as a terrorist. They're calling it workplace violence.
There you go. Yeah.
Workplace violence.
He starts shooting people.
Unarmed people. 13 unarmed people are dead on that base. Shot by a major who said Allah Akbar and in the inside of his ring said that he was AOA, Army of Allah.
Yeah.
That's his allegiance, the Army of Allah, not the United States Army. And the guy was a psychiatrist. That's even more bizarre. When you take a look at him, he's got those crazy eyes, of a religious fanatic, which of course he is. But
he doesn't live by the rule, doctor, heal thyself.
People that were wounded have not been given Purple Hearts because it wasn't something that happened in combat. Because it's workplace violence. Workplace violence where they kill, where there are 13 killed. And yet they brought all of the Sandy Hook people there. You know, This is just so terrible that American citizens have guns. You know, as I don't have one. I've never owned a gun in my life. I'm going to get one, I think, because it's important, you know, to be able to protect yourself. Now, in Watertown, they locked down that entire city and said, lock your doors, lock your windows. And people
and
were
load
afraid.
Your gun. And load your guns.
And you know what? I want to tell you something. I mean, if that were in Georgia or in Texas or in Florida or in Tennessee, there'd be people that would, you know, say, it's time to unlock the cabinet
yeah.
and get our weapons ready. If somebody comes through, we'll let them know we're Americans and waste them.
Do you know that Feinstein from California was on one of the Sunday shows, and they said, now don't you think you would have liked to have had an assault rifle in Watertown knowing that this guy was around? And she said, just like the Vice President, Joe Biden, well, a 12-gauge shotgun would work very nicely. And the guy said, now I'd rather spray the area than have one shot at this guy.
A 12-gauge shotgun would definitely work. Regardless, Massachusetts has the most stringent gun laws of any place other than New York City and Washington, D.C. and Chicago, the three worst crime hubs in America. But if you illegally own a gun in Massachusetts, it's like a mandatory 2-year sentence, isn't it?
1 year, but these, they had guns. Where did they get the guns? I don't think that they had any background checks done. And I don't care how good your laws are. If you're a criminal and you want a gun, you can get one probably within an hour anywhere in Massachusetts.
Very good question. One other thing that I want us to for sure cover. Now, we've talked about the things that are curious about this case. It's not done. There are things that we don't know that we need to know, that we have the right to know, and the press has just not, they aren't doing their job. They never do their job anymore. It's very sad. The complicity of trying to help Barack Obama bring down the constitutional government of the United States is very sad. That, you know, that the people from CNN, ABC, CBS, and ABC have done this. And MSNBC. This is really sad, and it's so unbelievable. And I never thought that there would be a time in my life when I would be doing a radio program and you and I would be talking about our American way of life being completely undermined by our president and his party and the news media. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, because this happened on April 15th, tax day, and because the first two photos of these guys were that they were white, the left was just licking their chops that this was some kind of right-wing splinter group. Well, yes, this is tax day, you know, and they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. You know, I told people, I said, well, this is Muslim. That's what they do. And, oh, you are so bigoted against Islam. I'm just not a fool.
No.
I knew what they were. I had my doubts when I saw that they were a couple, they were white guys and obviously not Middle Eastern. But Chechnya, they've been giving the Soviet Union trouble for a long time. The Russians are trouble for a long time. And, you know, the Russians warned us about them. Kind of like the Russians warned us about who Obama is in Pravda. Unbelievable. This isn't done, and I am just thrilled that we have this radio program, that we can talk to Americans and we can say things still, because freedom of speech is ours. It belongs to us, and we're done, though. So let me just say thank you, Dick, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.